My dad, working on the farm, he had a lot of time to think and talk and sing, and he would sing songs, sing hymns, and I would hear him. Before I went in the service, I worked with him because I was waiting to come into the service, and he would pray, and my brother went in the service, and I could hear him pray for him, and I could hear him quote the 91st Psalm, which paraphrases, "He who believes in the Almighty hand shall abide under that shadow of the Almighty. 1,000 may fall at one side and 10,000 may fall at the other side, but it will not come nigh thee." Now you can interpret that any way you want, but if you're a Bible-believing Christian and have faith, that thing is a comfort for you when you're up against an enemy that only wants to do one thing, and that's kill you. So, you know, I believe in that. I believe in that today. And when my brother was captured, he was captured on the day that I entered combat. On the day I left the States to come into combat.
But you didn't know that at that time.
I knew nothing. Yeah. You got to remember, we didn't have much. Yeah. The Western Union was our communication. They came riding out to your house on a bicycle, you know?
Yes.
When my brother was captured and they finally got word that he was MIA, my dad knew a German immigrant in town, because our town was made up of a lot of immigrants from Germany. We had quite a religious settlement there, which we weren't a part of that. But anyway, they were good people. And this was a professor in Germany. He didn't like Hitler. I think he came over here for a safe haven. But he still had loyalty to Germany. My dad went to him and he says, "Mr. Ebert," he said, "I know you were a professor in Germany. My son was over there fighting, and he was captured by the Germans. I want you to tell me how you feel he's being treated." He said, "Oh, Mr. Schmidt, do not you worry no more longer. Your son will be taken care of very, very, very good. He will get good food. He will get medical care. He is taken care of. Our German soldiers are the tops." Well, it gave comfort to my dad at that point in time. But after Glenn was liberated, and Glenn came home, he's one of the first camps liberated, because they were right near where we were in Easter Sunday, 1945, my brother was liberated. Again, we used to sing the song in church, "Up from the grave he arose, our Savior and soon coming King." It was just another assurance. And my dad stood on that. And Glenn got home, and they said, "Here he is." He was 150-some pound down to 92 pounds when he was liberated from starvation. So my dad hardly knew him because he was so skinny. And he said, "You got to tell me a little bit about it." Well, my brother at that time was almost ashamed that he'd been a POW. But when you're ambushed and it's your life or death or surrender, he didn't surrender. He was ambushed and they said, "Come out, or when you got a weapon pointed at your head, what are you going to do?" He'd already been wounded, and they had a white phosphorus burn. He knew he was wounded. He needed some help. And the only help he had was surrounded by German soldiers. But when he got home and told this story, I think my dad could have almost gone over there and beat that guy to death. And I think to his living day, he never had one good thing to say about that guy. He says, he was a Hitler lover. But anyway, but his son today is a proud American. My wife, Donna, went to school with him. And he's a successful businessman. He's a millionaire. He's a charitable giver. He's a Christian. He loves what he's doing, and he loves helping people. So something good came out of that.